As you remain standing, would you take God's word and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and we want to look at just one verse, although we'll be looking at several verses, but I want us to look at just one verse, the Gospel of Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. Today I want to begin a series of messages with you, and that is launching out through prayer. Launching out through prayer. And notice now verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he, that is Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. Very interesting that the disciple did not ask, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to heal. He requested, Lord, teach us to pray. And so keep that in mind as we listen to this message here in a moment, a beginner's manual on prayer. Father, I ask now that you would give us understanding on this great subject of prayer. Help us not to tune out on it, but help us to tune in. And may we be the stronger and the better for it, not only as a result of this message, but in the messages to come on the subject of prayer. May it be said of Calvary Baptist Church that we are a house of prayer. I think about in the early church how they prayed without ceasing. And many, many times prayer was offered up. And so may this truly be a strong characteristic of our individual lives and also the corporate life of our church, that we would become known as a church that knows how to pray. So strengthen us, give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning for God being lifted up in that song and seeing him truly as holy. Today I want to begin looking at a Bible subject that most of us either studied ourselves or have heard many sermons about, and that is the subject of prayer. Now when I think about the matter of prayer, I think about how really this is something that is so universal. For instance, if you were to Google the word prayer, it would come up with 370 million results. And if you were to go to Amazon.com and just type in the word prayer, you would find that there are 200,000 books for sale on the subject of prayer. Now, as I thought about those results, it tells me at least three things. One, that there is a great interest on the subject of prayer. Two, we are wired to pray. I often used to gristle when people would say a statement like, well, everybody prays. And to a degree, there is some truth to that statement. The Muslims pray. The cults have their system of prayer. All kinds of denominations, they pray. And we are wired, church, to pray. Then the third conclusion was this, is that we are not very good at prayer. Even though so much has been written and so many sermons throughout church history have been focused on the subject of prayer, truth of the matter is, isn't it interesting that one of the things that we continue to study is this subject of prayer? Because I think part of it is we realize that we are just not very good at prayer. Now, don't beat yourself up on that, because I'm saying that to myself as well. I think about Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit that indwells us at the point of salvation, also helpeth our infirmities. What is that infirmity? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. How many times have you and I struggled with really knowing how to pray and what to pray about. Sure, we have, but as I think about it, that's why we have the Holy Spirit within us to assist us as we pray. And truth be told, many of us are frustrated with our prayer life. I'm not saying you don't pray. That might be the case. I trust not. But for most of us, for many of us, it could be that we are just frustrated with our prayer life. As I think about that, I think our frustrations with prayer are caused by some misconceptions about prayer. For instance, we can look at prayer like a magic wand. You know, that magic wand like the magician has. He'll take that hat and he'll hit that hat and out comes a rabbit. You ever wonder where that rabbit was? But out comes the rabbit. And then out comes whatever else that he has in that hat. But he always uses that little wand. Sometimes people can approach prayer like a magic wand that if I just pray, hocus pocus, there it will be for me. Sometimes the misconception about prayer is that it's a fire extinguisher. That I will only pray in the time of emergency. Hey, Lord, I'm really up against it now. I really need you to come through at this point in my life. I've just been in a serious accident or I'm facing a major surgery. And Lord, I really need you to come through. And then when he does come through, do you continue to pray as fervent as you did? And then there can be the misconception that prayer is like a tug of war between you and God. We can bribe and bargain God. We'll bargain with God. God, if you'll just answer this prayer, I'll guarantee you that one of the first things I'm going to do, I'm going to really start being more faithful to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Lord, you just need to really answer this prayer. If you do that, then Lord, I will. Then here's what I will do. But prayer is not bargaining with God. Prayer is not a tug of war with God. And sometimes our frustrations with prayer are because some of these misconceptions that we have possibly adopted into our life, even as a Christian, looking at prayer as those kinds of things in our life that are just really not what prayer is all about. And so this morning I want you to look with me at four foundational truths about prayer. And it'll be here on the screen for you, but I want you to notice four foundational truths about prayer. First of all, God loves for me to talk with Him. God loves for me to talk with Him. Did you get that? God loves for me to talk with Him. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 14 and 15. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 14 and 15. And notice a phrase in particular, and one in each verse here. 1 John 5 and verse number 14, the Word of God says this, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Next verse, "And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." Twice the Bible says here that He hears us, He heareth us, because God loves for us to talk with Him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Here is an invitation by God for us to come to pray. He loves for us to communicate with Him through prayer. I think about in Matthew 7 and verse 7, Jesus said this, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Another invitation. There are several invitations throughout the Word of God that indicate to us that God loves for us to talk with Him. Now, when you think about that, then, I want you to think about prayer and what it is. First of all, prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. Prayer is a conversation. I talk, I listen. For instance, if you and I were to have a conversation, it doesn't need to be a one-sided conversation where one person does all the talking and the other person does all the listening. No, a meaningful conversation is that there is talking and there is listening. Now, that's another matter that I could preach on, about this matter of learning to listen to God when we pray. But when we pray, prayer is not a ceremony. It is a conversation that we just simply have. When I lead a person to Christ and I teach them on the subject of prayer, one of the things I tell them is this: prayer is just simply like you and I talking to each other. You don't have to impress God, oh, holy God, that who thou art in heaven, and use all these flowery words to try to tell God who He is. God already knows who He is. It is good for us to acknowledge who He is. In fact, in the model prayer in Luke 11, Jesus said to start your prayer out, how? Our Father who art in heaven. But as you think about that, prayer, it's not a ceremony. You don't have to try to impress God with all kinds of flowery words. In fact, that's why some people don't pray, because they think, man, I've got to have a Bible education to know how to pray. Wrong. You don't have to go off to Bible college to learn how to pray. But prayer is simply talking like I am talking this morning to you. When you have a one-on-one conversation with someone, that is like when you pray, that's having on that one-on-one conversation with God. But not only is prayer a conversation, but secondly, prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. And I will confess to you, there have been times in my prayer life when it has become ritualistic. I remember, and it wasn't wrong to be taught this, but I remember back in the day when I was a younger Christian, I was taught to use the formula with the word ACTS. A-C-T-S. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And so I would find myself starting off, first of all, trying to adore God, try to worship God, then to confess any sin that I knew of, and then to thank Him, and then to begin to ask Him for things. In and of itself, there is nothing wrong with that. If you do that, that is fine. But prayer is not to be a ritual. Prayer is to be a relationship. It is to be a relationship where you and God, again, are talking to God. You're not trying to impress God. You are pouring your heart out before God. There are times where you, as you are praying, you just sit still and be still and know that He's God. But prayer is a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is not a ritual. You don't have to go through all kinds of things in order to impress God, in order to get a hearing from God. No, it is a relationship. So first of all, understand this. As you think about prayer, and very elementary here, but God loves to hear you talk to Him. When was the last time you talked with the Lord in prayer? But notice this. The second foundational truth is that God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and look if you would, beginning at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. Matthew 6 and verse number 5. Here we find that the Lord gives a teaching on prayer. And He says this in verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, Pray that they love to stand praying in the synagogue, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So let me give you four things out of this text as we think about being sincere and simple when we pray. First of all, don't use prayer to show off. Don't use prayer to show off. In this context, there was a group of people, the Lord called them hypocrites, who loves to stand in the synagogues and just show off on how they prayed. Prayer is not to impress men. Prayer is a conversation between us and the Lord. Prayer is to not be something like the Pharisees and the Sadducees were guilty of, using it as a tool to show off how much they really knew about God and how much they really knew about prayer. That's not how prayer is to be used. So we find that, secondly, we're to be sincere. Be sincere. Go into your closet, be alone with God, and pour your heart out to him and pray to him and seek him. And then, thirdly, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Again, you don't have to try to impress God. Just keep it simple. And then the fourth principle is this from this text: stay humble or you will stumble. Stay humble or you will stumble. And so here we see that God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 22 says this: let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So when we pray, be sincere, be simple. This past week, with a man I'm trying to lead to the Lord, we were talking about how that his boys, when they pray, he says they are so simple. They are so, I said, childlike. He says, yes. And I said to him, that is exactly how we are to come to the Lord. We are to come as a child before the Lord. We are to come in that spirit of humility, that spirit of sincerity, that spirit of simplicity, just saying to God whatever is upon our heart at that time, but just being sincere, because God wants us to be sincere and simple when we pray. But then notice, thirdly this morning, that God likes to show his grace in answering prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, turn there if you would. Some of you know the verse by heart. But Jeremiah 33:3 says this: call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So we see that God definitely likes to show his grace in answering prayer. Church, understand this, that there is no one on the face of the earth that is more generous than God. There is no one more generous than him. He delights in answering prayer. God shows how good he is regardless of the answer to our prayer. Let me repeat that. God shows how good he is regardless of what the answer is to the prayer that we are praying. Now, which leads me to say this: God answers prayer in at least three ways. No, yes, or not yet. But God is a good father. Amen? God is a good father. If the answer is no, is God still good? Yes. If the answer is yes, is God still good? Yes. And if the answer is not yet, is God still good? In other words, God's character doesn't change regardless of the answer to the prayer. Now, when God says no to us, understand that sometimes he says no for our protection. Hey, remember, parents, the times that we've had to say no to our children? We weren't doing it to be some mean individual, though they might have thought that. Well, I can't wait till I get 18. I get out of the house. I do what I want. Then you get 18, you think, wow, at least I did. Those what I thought were dumb rules, dumb directions. Boy, I looked back at it then and thought, in fact, I wrote my parents a letter, thank you, thank you, thank you. But I didn't see it then. I just thought it was dumb. I thought, man, I can't wait to get off to college. I'll be out from underneath all that. Thank God today I understand something about, more importantly, about my Heavenly Father, that he at times will say no for my protection. He knows best. He at times will say no, not only for our protection, but for our direction, for our correction, for our perfection, for our inspection. Because you see, church, God is more interested in our character than our comfort. What are we more interested in? Our comfort. Lord, heal me. Lord, do this for me. We want it to be a comfortable life, but the Lord may at times say no so that he can form our character, because he's more interested in that than in our comfort. But understand this. In fact, I want you to turn to it. I want you to see it. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 11. Matthew 7, 11. He says this, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? What a strong characteristic of our God, that he is a good Father. He delights in showing us his grace in answering prayer. He delights in doing that. And so it really behooves us then, as we pray, to understand that God will answer prayer. He may not answer it right away, but God will answer prayer. Because God is a good Father. He enjoys answering prayer. He enjoys showing his grace to us in answering prayer. But then I want you to notice this. Another foundational truth about prayer is that God longs to be close to me. I thought about that statement as I penned it because, one, just about the very character of God. But does God long? Because I wanted to look at it this way. Do I long to be close to God? And that's a valid question. But does God long to be close to me? Well, I just read this morning in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 about the Lord Jesus, that we were and are created for his pleasure. For his pleasure. And so God longs to be close to me. Go to James chapter 4 and look at this verse. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. James chapter 4 and verse number 8 says this to us. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. Draw near to God, and he will do what? He will draw nigh to you. He will draw near to you. So when we pray, we need to understand that God longs to be close to me. And what is one of the ways that he can be close to me is through prayer. Pouring my heart out to him. Having a conversation with God in prayer. Praying to him. Hosea, you don't have to turn there, but in chapter 6 and verse 6, it says this. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Say, preacher, what does that mean? God is saying, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. God is saying, I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Was offerings important? Were sacrifices important? Yes. But beyond all of that, what the Lord wanted is, I want your love. I want you to know me. And so God just so moved toward us. Think about this verse. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us. Now that means that God showed his love toward us. How? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God, who longs to be close to us, in his great wisdom and knowledge, had to send his Son at the right time to come into this world, because there was something that was in the way, that was interfering with us being close to God and God being close to us. It was called a three-letter word, sin. And so Jesus came into the world to be that sin bearer. Upon him was all of our sin placed upon him. And he bore our sin. And then the Bible says now that we can be reconciled. We can be brought into fellowship, back into harmony with God. What a precious relationship. And so the way has been made clear. God longs for us to be close to him. Do we desire in our life to be close to him? As I think about this, that there is nothing more important. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God. Not the raising of your kids, not your work, not your school, not your bank account. There is nothing more important than your relationship with God. I can't say that strongly enough. Because at the end of the day, that's what really matters. So I want you to think about this. How do you get close to the Lord? Two ways. Number one, desire to be close to him. Desire to be close to the Lord. Do you desire to be close to the Lord? You are as close as you want to be, by the way. Think about that. You are as close as you want to be. Now, to me, that is a really thought-provoking statement. Then how close do I really want to be? Am I satisfied where I am, or do I want to be closer and closer to the Lord? Do I desire it? Do I strongly desire to be close to him? A preacher of yesteryear wrote this, and I want you to listen carefully. He says, I want deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. Acute desire must be present, or there will be no manifestation of Christ to his people. He waits to be wanted. Too bad that with many of us, he waits so long, so very long. Oh, I don't want to keep, if you would, my God waiting. I want to desire to be close to him. And prayer through the years for me has been one of those habits that has been so deeply developed in my life that it is more than just praying a list. There is a list I pray through. You are on it. But there are times I will lay that list aside and I will just begin to pray. I don't have to have a list. I think sometimes that's how we think we got to do it to pray. A list is helpful. It keeps your mind from wandering. But I tell you, you don't have to have a list to pray. Prayer is that conversation. It is not a ceremony. It is not a ritual. But God longs to be close to you, and do you long to be close to him? Then, the second way that you get close to the Lord is not only desire it, but simply make time for him. Now, I know you can pray anywhere and at all times. I understand that. You can pray driving down the road. Just don't close your eyes. You can pray sitting in your living room. You can pray while you're at work. Obviously, you don't get out on your knees and so forth, but in your heart, you can be in a spirit of prayer. So it's not something that starts and then stops and then you pick it back up again. But you can be in that attitude of prayer throughout the day. Pray without ceasing. How is that possible? By, again, keeping yourself in tune with the Lord, desiring it, making time for Him. A few years ago, and I may do it again because it's been a long time since I've done this. But one of the most helpful things that for me personally, and I believe for some of you, this is why I'm thinking about doing it again, because many of you weren't here at that time when I did this series of messages entitled Learning About His Name. Learning About His Name. And we went through a study on who God is. There are a lot of names for God in the Bible. And relating that then to prayer. That, for me personally, revolutionized my prayer life. But I do not stand before you as one who doesn't struggle with praying. They say the average preacher prays, get this, 5 minutes a day. I don't know where they come up with the averages, but they do. That the average pastor prays 5 minutes a day. When I first noted that, I thought that's staggering, but then it caused me to think about, well, how much do I pray? And again, it's not necessarily about the quantity of time, but I think about how that when we really think about our life, we talk about tithing. Is tithing important? It sure is. But have you ever thought about tithing your time? Okay, so you have a 24-hour day. Have you ever thought about tithing 2 hours and 40 minutes of your day to prayer? So, well, I'm not saying you're commanded to. I'm just saying think about it. Think about how much time. Do a little study. Log it this week. How much time do I really pray? Now, I think it might surprise you how little the average church in America prays. The early church was given over to prayer, and the burden of my heart in this series of messages is not only that you would grab hold of about prayer in your own personal life, but that we as a church would really begin to practice prayer more and more. I don't know, to be honest with you, how this is going to form and shape up. But as I look back in the history of Calvary Baptist Church in the time that I've been here, some of the greatest moments in the life of this church were times when the church was highly committed to prayer. See this piano over here? We were in need of a piano. The church began to pray about the need for a piano. And God graciously moved upon the heart of a widow lady to provide the money to get this. Now, I will tell you, that wasn't just happenstance. God showed Himself strong in prayer. Right? God showed Himself strong in prayer. And God has done that over and over in the life of our church. And as I think about for our church family, I think about one of the greatest things that could be said of Calvary Baptist Church is that church knows how to pray. I could take you to a church in Brooklyn, New York, that they are a church given over to prayer. Their prayer meeting is not Wednesday night. Their prayer meeting is Tuesday night. I have been there one time. And on the entry doors that go into their auditorium, it says this, Please be quiet as you enter. People are already in the spirit of prayer. Well, that really took me back, but they were. That church, I know it's in the thousands. But if you read the history of that church, the pastor writes about his calling to the church and then his struggle to stay there. And he was struggling with 35 people. 35 people. Now it runs in the thousands. But he will tell you it's not because of his strong preaching. It's because they are a church that is given over to prayer. And that church went from a struggling church family of 35 people to now in the thousands, reaching the greater Brooklyn area. Prayer makes a difference. I could take you to a church. I haven't been there, but only have read about it and have heard this man's teachings on prayer. But I could take you to Washington State and go to a little town called Jefferson, a Baptist church, but a church that would reach about 200, and then it would go through difficulties, and it would go back down, then it would go back up to 200. And he says this pattern went on for 13 years to a point where he says, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to go back into farming and forget this. But God convicted him about that. I won't bore you with all the details, but God convicted him about that. And then from that 14th year on in his ministry there, still there, 67 years old now, and how that church now runs 2,000 people, struggling to stay at 200 at one time, often going through a lot of church conflicts, up, down, up, down, up, down. But God taught him how to pray. God then used him to teach his church how to pray. And now they are seeing the fruit of God moving through prayer. Now the reason I'm saying this, church, is because one of the most fruitful things, helpful things that we can do as a church, please don't take this statement wrong, it's not what I'm doing right here, right now. It's important. That's my responsibility. I get that. But one of the most important things that this church can do is to be given over to prayer. The early church prayed. When they prayed, the place was shaken. God moved in a great way. Souls were saved. People were growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Peter was such a great preacher? Because Philip was such a great preacher? No, they were men available to be used of the Lord, but the church was given over to prayer. Prayed, prayed, prayed. The challenge to me, personally, as your pastor, is one, to keep growing myself in prayer, but to follow God's direction to lead us to be a praying church. Not just individually, but as a corporate body, we would learn how to pray. That when a prayer meeting is called, not just a handful of people show up, but a greater part of the church family would show up because we're convinced that God wants to do something in our midst. God works through prayer. Some of you have heard me say this, that you move men to God through prayer. Paul, I believe, believed that when he penned the word of God. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He believed that you're going to move men to God through prayer. Oh, sure, he preached the gospel. Sure, he advanced the gospel. But while he was doing it, he was praying. And so, church, this morning, I tell you, that God, let me review and then we'll close. God likes to hear you pray. Secondly, God, in his desires, God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God likes to show his grace in answering prayer. And God longs to be close to you. The psalmist penned, where God is speaking, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Church family, God is calling you individually. Seek my face. What will your heart say? Every head bowed. While their heads bowed and their eyes are closed, as we think about the subject matter of prayer, I know I've got definitely room to grow in this area. I haven't got the corner on this. I need to still stretch myself and grow. I wonder this morning, there'd be those here who would say, preacher, that's definitely me. I know about prayer. I want to become more and more consistent in my prayer life. I want God to grow me through this series of messages on prayer. I so want to grow in this matter of prayer. That's where I am this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand, drop your head, just lift it up. Yes, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Say, preacher, I need to grow in this area. I'm not saying you're not doing it. I'm just saying you see room for growth for prayer. Say, preacher, that's me. I definitely see room to grow in my prayer life. I really do. And I need to be given over more and more to prayer. Anybody else while we wait, just lift your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? And now, Father, for these precious souls whose hearts you see, they have indicated along with me their need to and their desire to grow in this area of prayer. Because they, like me, they do pray, but they need to grow even more in this area of prayer. I don't know that we ever stop growing in it. I really don't. And so, Father, just like this disciple asked, Lord, teach us to pray. He could have asked other things, but that's what he requested. And may that be the request of our heart. Would you grow us up in this area of prayer? Help us as a church body to be a church body given over to prayer. Father, I don't know exactly how that will shape up for us. But would you lead us? Would you guide us? Would you direct us to be a church given over to prayer? We have a great community of souls to reach for you, but without prayer, it cannot happen. And so, Father, help us. Strengthen us. Please give us understanding in growing in this area of prayer. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.